This is an encore broadcast of Streams in the Desert Live.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, August 18th, 2021, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com. where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is The New World Order. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking here at 11:59 in split seconds just before the imminent return of your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and only Savior of the world, whose name is Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary that I may have eternal life. And Holy Spirit, I ask this day that you would have your way in all that be said and done. Let the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, do what you have come here to do this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, in setting the scene to illustrate what is now beginning to unfold on the world stage, I would like to begin with Psalms 2, in which King David ponders, "Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
My friends, for many years now, the West, led by America, has been working on building a new world order, as is made note of in our first piece of the day, of which I will be sharing with you shortly. But at the same time, my friends, in the last few years, the East, led by China, has as well been working on a plan to rule the world. Both are on a collision course with He that sitteth in the heavens, namely God Almighty, not to mention His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who, my friends, quite literally is the only Savior of the world. With that said, just before we dive into our first piece of the day, to help you better understand what is to be shared here today, I invite you to please take the time to listen to a show that the Lord gave me on the current subject back in 2018. The show title is NEOM, N-E-O-M, and is dated June 6, 2018. Now, moving forward in what is to be shared here today, my friends, let us begin with a piece posted to themostimportantnews.com, written by Mr. Michael Schneider, dated August 16th, 2021, titled, Afghanistan is the thread that will start to unravel Western dreams of a new world order. Of which Mr. Schneider begins thusly by stating, the drama playing out in Afghanistan right now has enormous implications for the entire planet because it represents a colossal defeat for Western globalists. Mr. Schneider shares that ever since the end of World War II, Western elitists have been tirelessly working to establish liberal democracies all over the globe. And the idea was that all of the liberal democracies could be increasingly integrated into the emerging one world system. Of course, says Mr. Schneider, China, Russia, Iran, and their allies were never going to fully go along with this plan. And that is one of the reasons why they are endlessly demonized by the media outlets in the Western world. He continues by sharing that the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians all have their own ideas about what the future of the planet should look like, and none of them are good. But when it comes to world domination, the Western powers were closer to achieving that goal than anyone else. Unfortunately, the Western powers, the tide is now turning. And it appears that an era of tremendous instability is dead ahead. Mr. Schneider further states that U.S. globalists such as Henry Kissinger helped to popularize the idea of a new world order. But in recent years, Western elitists have more commonly referred to it as the liberal world order or the liberal international order. He continues by sharing, the following is how the liberal international order is defined by Wikipedia. In international relations, the liberal international order, sometimes referred to as the ruled-based or the U.S.-led international order, describes a set of global rule-based structured relationships based on political liberalism, economic liberalism, and liberal internationalism since the late 1940s. More specifically, it entails international cooperation through multilateral institutions like the United Nations, World Trade Organization, and International Monetary Fund, and is constituted by human equality, freedom, rule of law, and human rights, open markets, security cooperation, promotion of liberal democracy, and monetary cooperation. The order was established in the aftermath of the World War II, led in large part, my friends, by the United States. My friends, now that you've had a small crash course in what the New World Order was supposed to be, Mr. Snyder continues by sharing, For a long time, the globalists were supremely confident that nobody could stop them. But over the past 5 years or so, they have really started to doubt themselves. For example, the following is an excerpt from a Council on Foreign Relations article entitled, What is Liberal World Order?, which states, world leaders created a series of international organizations and agreements to promote global cooperation on issues including security, trade, health, and monetary policy. The United States has championed this system, known as the Liberal World Order, for the past 75 years. During this time, the world has enjoyed unprecedented peace and prosperity. But these institutions are far from perfect, and today they are struggling to address new sources of disorder, such as climate change and a deadly pandemic. What's more, democracy is on the decline around the world. Authoritarianism is on the rise, and countries like China are deliberately chipping away at the liberal world order, creating parallel institutions of their own. Faced with these challenges, will the liberal world order survive? If a new system emerges, what will that mean for freedom, peace, and prosperity worldwide? Mr. Snyder says, these globalists really do believe that they know best, and many of them are truly convinced that what they were doing was what was best for humanity. Time after time, we witnessed the same pattern. A foreign government would be toppled, a friendly liberal democracy would be set up, and the liberal democracy would start to be integrated into the world system, says Mr. Snyder, just before going on to say, that is precisely what happened in Afghanistan. But now, after nearly 20 years of opium-selling nuts that were toppled in 2001, they have overthrown the liberal democracy in Kabul and have reconquered the country. Mr. Snyder further points out, not only that, in the process, they have completely and utterly humiliated the United States and other New World Order powers. He shares that the Taliban has exposed how weak the New World Order really is, and that it is going to greatly embolden other enemies of the New World Order. In addition, Mr. Snyder makes a very fine and sobering point when he says, if a motley collection of drug dealers and goat herders can defeat the New World Order, do you think that the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, or anyone else will be intimidated ever again? In further reporting at the same time of the writing of his piece, which was Monday, August 16, 2021, Mr. Snyder shares, at this hour, the airport in Kabul has essentially been transformed into a giant prison. Anyone that tries to get in or get out is being shot by the Taliban. He says the only way out is by air, and the desperation of those that are trapped inside the airport is off the charts. Three Afghans actually tried to cling to a U.S. military plane as it was taking off, but they quickly fell to their deaths. At least eight people were killed in the Kabul airport on Monday, including two who were shot dead by U.S. troops, three who were ran over by taxiing jets, and three stowaways who fell from the engines of a U.S. Air Force plane as it fled an airfield of thousands of desperate Afghan nationals. Mr. Snyder as well points out that this is so much worse than the fall of Saigon, just before going on to say, we are being told that there are approximately 34,000 people trapped inside the airport, and it could take weeks to finally evacuate them all. The airport is being secured by 6,000 U.S. troops, but they yesterday failed to stop the runway being invaded, despite helicopters being used to try and herd people off the tarmac. Meanwhile, there are at least 34,000 people, both citizens and Afghan allies, hoping to be rescued by the U.S. and Britain, and an unknown number relying on European countries, Canada and Australia. The U.S. hopes to be able to evacuate 5,000 people a day and the U.K. 1,000 a day, but has so far both have managed a tiny fraction of that. That's true, my friends, because when I saw the C-130 or whatever it's called, or the C-17 big cargo plane, they said that there was only 640 people on that, and it looked packed to me. Mr. Snyder continues by stating that it is being reported that there are hundreds of journalists among those that are trapped inside the airport, and big media corporations in the United States are desperate to get them home. As Americans cower in fear inside the airport, the Taliban are going door to door looking for attractive women to make into sex slaves. Taliban fighters tried out a fun fair. And what they mean by that is they have pictures of them riding on bumper cars at a fun fair. That's what they're calling a little fair there in Kabul. While militants reportedly go door to door in the Afghan capital looking for interpreters and Western allies amidst allegations that gangs are marauding the streets of other cities, hunting girls as young as 12 they can make their sex slaves. Mr. Snyder once again makes the observation that the Taliban won and the New World Order lost. Just before going on to rightly say, this is going to change everything. My friends, Mr. Snyder is 1,000% right about that. As you will see coming up in the second half of our show for today, it is going to be biblical. Now, picking up where Mr. Snyder last left off, he says, of course, the Taliban never would have been victorious without help. The Taliban makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year selling opium and other drugs, but they also receive hundreds of millions of dollars a year from other sources. Both Afghan and U.S. officials have accused regional governments of funding the Taliban, having long suspected Pakistan, Iran, and Russia, and have offered their assistance at some point. The most individual contributions come from Pakistan and Gulf nations such as Saudi Arabia and the UAE. providing an estimated annual income of $500 million a year. Just as a side note, my friends, when you listen to my previous show, NEOM, N-E-O-M, you will really begin to understand how Saudi Arabia, among other players on the Middle Eastern scene, fit in. With that said, Mr. Snyder continues his piece by stating, it shouldn't surprise anyone that some of the countries mentioned in the quote are also considered to be some of the New World Order's biggest enemies. And, says Mr. Snyder, I think that it says volumes that the embassies of, get this, my friends, Russia and China are now being guarded by the Taliban and have continued to operate throughout the entire crisis. This is what you will learn about knowing why that's happening, my friends, when you go back to my other show, NEOM, N-E-O-M, June 6, 2018. Mr. Snyder moves towards closing his piece when he states, there will be no more empire building after this. The balance of power is shifting on a permanent basis, and Western dreams of establishing a true liberal international order that encompasses the entire planet are now dead. He further states, as I discuss in my new book, I do believe that there will be a one world government one day, but it will not be led by the Western powers. Mr. Snyder says the stunning defeat in Afghanistan has turned the globalist news outlets in the United States firmly against Biden. Just a few months ago, they were endlessly singing his praises, but now they are ripping into him quite viciously. An opinion piece in the New York Times claims that Biden would go down in history fairly or unfairly as the president who presided over a long, brewing, humiliating final act in the American experiment in Afghanistan. A Washington Post columnist said that the situation is on Biden and it will leave an indelible stain on his presidency, while a piece in USA Today said this catastrophe is appearing on his watch and he will have to take his lumps. And says Mr. Snyder on CNN, constant negative news normally, one contributor actually said that this represents the Saigon moment for President Biden. CNN's presidential historian Tim Naftali was one of many observers to compare the situation to the infamous fall of Saigon. This is the Saigon moment for President Biden, and this will be an albatross around his neck for the rest of time, Naftali said. Mr. Snyder rounds out that by stating the New World Order does not like losers, and Joe Biden is a loser, just before going on to say, but even after everything that has happened, he is still standing behind his decision. Quote, I stand squarely behind my decision. After 20 years, I've learned that the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces, Biden said during a speech from the East Room of the White House Monday afternoon. That's why we're still there. We were clear-eyed about the risks. We planned for every contingency, but I always promised the American people I would be straight with you. The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. Mr. Snyder then chimes in with, this was never supposed to happen, of which he is there again, 1,000% right, my friends. He then continues by stating that Afghanistan was supposed to become a liberal democracy and integrate into the emerging world system, just like the globalist planners wanted. But now the Taliban has proven that the globalists can be defeated, and that is likely to encourage other enemies of the New World Order to become more aggressive. Mr. Snyder ends his piece by sharing, needless to say, that could create a tremendous amount of instability all over the planet, and great instability could eventually set the stage for war on a global scale. And on that wildly intriguing, not to mention mesmerizing note, my friends, we will be right back after the break to take a look at that very ideal when we return for the thought-provoking summation of the New World Order.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my home. Great is the army that carries out his word. They rush on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice before his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm.
It is definitely time to sound the alarm, my friends. Okay, now, here in the second half of the show, it is time to fasten your seatbelts and keep your arms and legs inside the ride at all times, as I now put a prophetic bug in your ear. With that said, just before the break, Mr. Snyder made this comment when he rightly stated, quote, "There will be no more empire building after this. The balance of power is shifted on a permanent basis, and Western dreams of establishing a true liberal international order that encompasses the entire planet are now dead." Now, my friends, with that said, this next excerpt by gotquestions.com is meant to really get the old prophetic juices flowing. The question is, does China have a role in the end times? And the biblical answer, in short, is this. Many students of Bible prophecy consider Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16, to possibly refer to China in the end times. These scriptures, read as spoken, my friends, by John the Revelator out of Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is in reference to Satan, my friends. But isn't it ironic that it also applies to everything to do in our world with China? The dragon. Mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, which is in regards to the Antichrist beast of Satan, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, which is his cohort, and also propelled by the power working and spirit of Satan, my friends. For they are the spirits, says the word of God, of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Jesus said in verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, which means, my friends, literally the mountain of Megiddo. The writer of the answer in gotquestions.com continues by stating, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then demonic spirits that performed signs go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty," which is for the battle of Armageddon. "Then they gathered the kings together to the place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon." Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16. Read it for yourself, my friends. The writer continues by stating, "This passage predicts a massive climactic conflict known as the Battle of Armageddon. It occurs at the end of the tribulation," which would be the end of the time of great tribulation, meaning the second 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, my friends. "After the sixth bowl judgment," says the writer, "at that time the Euphrates River will be dried up, allowing the kings from the east to invade the Near East and march towards Israel." My friends, when you go back and listen to my show, the Neom, N-E-O-M show from June 6, 2018, think about what is actually being done by China right now. It's called the Belt and Road Initiative. Belt meaning that which is done on land, like roads and railroads, and the road being belt and road. Okay, so the road part being the maritime, what is done in the waters around the Middle East and in the East, near and far. "At that time, the Euphrates River will be dried up, allowing the kings from the east to invade the Near East and march towards Israel," says the word of God. It is the kings from the east identification that many associate with China, the Chinese army, or a China-led coalition. will take advantage of the removal of a natural barrier and sweep westward to meet up with the forces of the Antichrist. When the end times forces from China joins with the armies of the Antichrist, the seventh and final bowl judgment will be poured out. The Lord Jesus will return in his second coming, my friends, not in the rapture. That's long past. This is at the end of the time of tribulation and the end of the time of great tribulation, which there again is the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of tribulation. The Lord Jesus will return. The most violent earthquake ever will shake the world, and the forces of the Antichrist and the armies of the East will be destroyed, as noted in Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 20, and Revelation 19, verses 11 through 21. Well, let's just take a look at that to make sure. Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 20 states, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven." You know, that one that's made without hands and is eternal, that isn't here on this earth, but in heaven, just like it said. "From the throne," which means the throne of God, "saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the face of the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." My friends, you know, people have had a lot of ideas of what Babylon the Great is, but it is a worldwide system, a political, economical, and religious system. It is the one that encompasses all nations upon the earth. It's not a physical place in this case. It is a spiritual thing that has taken place over the earth and has corrupted it. And Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21 states, "By way of the mouth of John the Revelator," there again, and the power, working, and anointing of the Lord God's Holy Spirit, John says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war." That's in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ coming in his second coming, my friends. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen," which would be us, "white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword," which is his word, my friends, "that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, 'Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.'" Which that little section right there, my friends, is in accordance with Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about those who will receive the mark of the beast, and it will be bared out in the scripture just here in a second that the Lord is destroying them by the sword of his mouth when he returns at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And I saw the beast, which is in regards to the Antichrist, beast of Satan, my friends, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, which would be speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and all of us who were ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return in the rapture that came long before this day, my friends. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the Antichrist beast and the false prophet, my friends, listen up. These both, says the word of God, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, which are all those, my friends, that took the mark of the beast on the other side of the rapture, because they weren't ready for the rapture. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. What was the sword? It was his mouth, my friends, and the words coming out of it, which are the words of God, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Meanwhile, the writer states, It is impossible to know for sure if the Eastern Confederacy of the end times will include China. However, it seems likely that China will be involved. My friends, you can most certainly know by way of the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit and God's Word that many nations will be involved, and China will definitely be one of them. They go out, my friends, they go on to say, just as I myself, in my show titled NAM, and what Mr. Schneider has pointed out here today, that in recent years, we have seen a dramatic rise in China's power and influence. The development of enormous military strength, intimidation of Hong Kong, Tibet, Taiwan, and other regions, pursuit of global economic dominance, aggressive rhetoric on the world stage, and of course, the persecution of Chinese Christians. All this has been characteristic of China, says the writer, and so say I, my friends. It is not hard, says the writer, to imagine that the kings from the east who one day march into Israel will include China. It is not hard to imagine that the kings from the east who will one day march into Israel will include China, because that's the truth, my friends. Later on in this piece, as the writer moves to close, they state, in the end times, many nations, likely including China, will try their hand at conquest. Ultimately, their fight will be against God, and that is what the Word of God says, my friends, so that is very true. The time of great tribulation, my friends, will be a tumultuous time of warfare, disasters, and divine judgment. But God has it all under control, as Psalms 2:2-6 assures us. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, who would be Jesus Christ, saying, "Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king, says the Lord God, upon my holy hill of Zion," my friends, which is in reference to Jerusalem and Israel. My friends, we are barreling towards the end of time as we have known it. And the time of the rapture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming at breakneck speed. The East and the West are in a match to see who can bring in the new world order and a complete end to this present world. Neither realizing that it is not they that will accomplish this task, but God Almighty, by way of Satan, his demons, the man of sin or son of perdition, who is best known as the Antichrist beast, along with Satan's false prophet and the implementation of the mark of the beast. How do I know? And how can I be sure? Because, my friends, the Word of God tells us so. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled, found in Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. My friends, it is high time and way past time to get your house in order, spiritually speaking. For the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "To enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate," says Jesus, "and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." My friends, that right there always gets me. That is you talk about sounding an alarm. "And few there be that find it." That should alarm everyone who's not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ right now, considering all that is taking place in our world at this very moment. The Word of God continues by saying, "Beware of false prophets." You know, those ones that go around telling you, "Oh, this pandemic will be okay. It'll be over in just a few days. Don't worry. Everything's going to go back to normal. President Trump's going to come back. Everything's going to be great." Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. "Ye shall know them by their fruits," says the Word of God. "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree," listen up, my friends, "that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Let's rewrite that for just a minute, even though we're not going to damage the Word of God. We're going to interpret what it is saying. Every person that bringeth forth not good fruit in telling others and being ready themselves that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the way and is the only way to eternal life will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone for all eternity, which the Word of God plainly states in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them," says the Word of God. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah, you know, the one who's not always continuously trusting in themselves, because we can do nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. We cannot save ourselves, my friends. Once you take your last breath, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Lord of you, you are on your way to the lake of fire right after a brief stop in hell. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wherefore, and you know what I always tell you about wherefore? See what it's there for. Wherefore, says Jesus, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, which is a reference in the Bible to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. Jesus goes on to say, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished by his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. My friends, please get your heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ while it is still called today, for you do not know if tomorrow will come for you. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, Jesus tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says might be saved because, you know, you can go on through life thinking you can save yourself, trust yourself, believe in yourself, da-da-da-da-da. But if you don't have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him daily in a personal relationship, you are dooming yourself to the lake of fire and in the end of all things, my friends. It is a free will choice to believe the way of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way to eternal life that God has put down in his word, and he's not about to change it. The word of God says, he that believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not in what? In him. Who is he? He's Jesus Christ. The word of God says, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what? You can't get that confused with anything. You cannot confuse that with anything, because there's only one begotten Son of God, one begotten Son of the one and only true and living God, and his name is Jesus Christ. So don't send yourself to the eternal lake of fire. Begin to believe on him whose name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God of heaven, earth, Israel, all breathing things, creator of the universe, creator of people, creator of everything, including Satan, because he once was a very cherished angel of the Lord. But because he was on his high horse, believing in himself and believing that he could save himself, he's ended up down here until he meets the Antichrist beast and false prophet in the lake of fire, just as the Word of God states. The Word of God goes on here to say, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, who is Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the knowing and knowing well of the Word of God, walking in the power, working and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or fashioned in and by God, my friends. The Lord God only has one way to enter into the eternal kingdom of heaven, and it is by way of a personal relationship and good standing with his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and only Savior of the world, whose name is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus tells us, he says what he says to Thomas, my friend, he says to us all. And that is, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the method, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul tells us, by way of the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, just how we can surrender our heart, mind, body, and soul, my friends, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to the day of redemption, so that we can be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his, Jesus's, that is, imminent return here at 11:59 in split seconds, as he appears in the rapture for his bride. His bride are the church that are ready, watching, waiting, and praying without spot or blemish, who are ready to go up while the rest of the world is fumbling around with Satan. Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I like to say right living in Jesus, my friends. And with the mouth, the Word of God says, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Call upon who? Call upon the one and only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God. What is the name of the one and only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God? His name is Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus coming in a spaceship in the Himalaya mountains, my friends, but Jesus Christ, the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, and the one that sent, had the Holy Spirit sent back from the Father when he went back to the right hand of the Father, that we may be filled with the empowering of God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, because it is the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit that will raise our spirits up off this earth at the time of the rapture. When we look up into the eastern sky, seeing Jesus break the eastern sky, never touch this filthy earth, but have us rise to be with him forevermore, soon and very soon. Are you going to miss the only attraction in the world that is forever and for eternity, my friends? That is up to you. Because the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with that said, my friends, today is the day of salvation. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ on your own to forgive you of your sins. Tell him that you know by the Word of God that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you want to ask him this very day with a broken and contrite heart and spirit to forgive you of your sins and to wash you white as snow in the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, that you will have the desire to seek the Lord God upon the throne for the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit, as outlined in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, that you will speak with other tongues, that you may lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. My friends, and that on the day when you look up into the eastern sky because you're ready, watching, and waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will begin to rise up to meet him forevermore, and you will be with him for eternity. With that said, my friends, I just want to pray a short prayer. Dear Lord God, I pray that those who have been pricked in their heart today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your one and only begotten Son, as their one and only way of escape from the wrath that is soon to come in the time of great tribulation, that today they will seek you, Lord Jesus, ask you to forgive them of their sins and begin to walk in the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, as they seek you for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of that Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, so that all things may be brought to their remembrance and that they will begin to know your word, know it well, and know it correctly for themselves. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day and in the lives that are listening spiritually. Amen and amen. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray, my friends. It's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his perfect shalom, which means peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?